Welcome to our show, The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm your host, Faith Marie Batsko, bringing you critical insight and revelation to position you securely in Christ for the season ahead. Hello and welcome to The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm Faith Marie Batsko, your host today, and we are going to continue on from last week's message of Third Day Realities. The title of today's message is A Third Day Feast. Will you be attending? So the book of Esther contains certain keys that provide revelation to help us in our understanding of the flow of events in the end times. King Ahasuerus, in the third year of his reign, gave two feasts. The first banquet was held for the leaders and servants of the kingdom. As Jesus spent himself on the 12 disciples before sending them out into the world, a banquet for those who serve him today can be seen as a time of honoring his work of training and equipping those whom he has prepared for this hour. Leaders will receive a download from heaven and be filled with the treasures of God to release and impart what they have been given into the body of Christ. This first banquet represents the birthing of the man-child of Revelations 12, the birth of a mature leadership. Esther chapter 1 verse 4 says, "He showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all." So the second feast given was for all people and was held over 7 days. Everyone in the kingdom was invited to this banquet. Within this feast, we see portrayed a full representation of the body of Christ. The gold goblets in which the wine was served represent all parts of the body, the churches, ministries, and denominations. Each goblet was different from the other, showing the diversity of the body of Christ, revealing that each vessel will be given wine to serve to the harvest. Verses 5 to 6 tells us of this feast. It says, "The king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink in his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished." By the king's command, everyone was allowed to drink in his own way. This represents a celebration that each part of the body is invited to participate in. Everyone was free to celebrate in their own unique way. Some could be boisterous, while others may be more subdued. Some may take in everything quietly, while others may shake, rattle, and roll, dance, and wave their banners. Everyone is free to choose how they celebrate by the order of the king. In this particular banquet, the queen was noticeably absent. It is possible that she thought that this level of frivolity was beneath her good sense. On the last day of the party, when everyone was in high spirits, the king sends 7 eunuchs to request Queen Vashti's appearance to display her beauty, but she refuses. Vashti is representative of the religious, those who are very sad, you see. I believe her thoughts may have gone something like this. I'm going to have a little fun with Vashti. "Well, I will definitely not show myself to this rabble. No respectable person would. Just look at them. All they are intent on is drinking wine and getting drunk. What good is that?" It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning and they're plastered, thoroughly intoxicated. What's the matter with them? Surely there could be more important things they could be doing in the kingdom. They are an absolute disgrace. Just look at them, running around, exposing themselves in their undergarments, dancing and leaping around and making veritable fools of themselves in public. What a spectacle. What? You can't be serious. The king is actually reveling with the rabble? Well, you can just tell him that I will have none of it. What utter nonsense. I will stay right here with my friends, those of my kind, and we will have our own feast with some biscuits and tall glasses of lemon juice. The only response that can be given to the Vashtis of the church is, it was before the Lord, as David said in 2 Samuel 6:21. Queen Vashti represents a portion of the church today who will refuse to show up for the wedding feast. As the queen, she represents a religious leadership and a rebellious bride who refuses to submit to God's will. The seven eunuchs who had access to the king advised him to depose Vashti, as her disobedience and rebellion would only serve as a bad example and would ultimately spread like a disease into the kingdom. The queen not only misses out on the entire festivities, the joy and the fellowship, but is eventually exiled for her rebellion. In the darkness of times, God's desire is to now showcase to the world the beauty of the bride of Christ. The king will reveal through his bride his majesty, glory, royalty, power, and authority. He's calling for his bride to leave her dressing room and stand at his side. In the parable of the wedding feast, God reveals that like Vashti, many who are invited to his feast will make light of it, refuse to show up, and will even try to kill those who are sent to call them. Let's read Matthew 22:3-6. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, "The feast has been prepared, the bulls and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet." But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. At this point, God sends his servants out with an open invitation to the world. He says in Matthew 22:10, "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out to the highways and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. The Lord of Harvest is going to invite the world to his feast and will make available in endless supply vast amount of wine to be served. The harvest is being invited to an agape love feast and a celebration the likes of which has never been seen before. They are being invited to a great celebration, not a lecture or a funeral. In the early 90s, the Lord put on a feast in Toronto, a possible precursor of the wedding feast. He invited the nations of the world to come to his party. The body was fully represented as all the beautiful goblets of gold showed up to be filled with wine, and everyone was free to drink as much as they wanted in their own way by the king's command. God was calling a people together to become an army of laid down lovers of God as the Holy Spirit worked to heal and to refresh tired, broken-hearted leaders. To fill, train, and equip a new breed of leadership who would submit to him wholeheartedly, regardless of appearances and good sense. After Queen Vashti was deposed, we see the emergence of Esther. Esther is a true representation of the bride, a reflection of Christ, prepared in submission, humility, and obedience. She followed all the instructions that Haggai, the king's eunuch, that is representative of the Holy Spirit, gave her, and she won the king's favor. Esther, who was a Jewish queen, represents the return and restoration of Israel in union with Gentile believers and the completion of the Israel of God. Momentum is now gathering again, and the real party will soon begin as plans are underway and preparations are going forward for the great feast of the great harvest. The Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled and taking place simultaneously all over the world. It is not too late for Vashti to make her appearance. Don't be left out. Any Vashti reading this, God is inviting you to come to his feast. Ask the Holy Spirit to help with understanding of any of your concerns and come with an open heart and an open mind. Esther is maturing and will soon be making her appearance. Esther 5:1 says, "Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house." The harvest is looking for the Father's agape love of God, not our judgment. The Lord's heart is for his harvest. He's patiently been waiting thousands of years for this day. If the harvest is the end of the age, according to Matthew 13:39, and the last feast to be fulfilled is the celebration for the harvest and the closing of the harvest season, and if the multitudes, which no man could number from every nation, tribe, and peoples, came out of the great tribulation, and that's Revelation 7:9-14, then the body of Christ is headed for very turbulent times ahead, and a great deal of preparation needs to be done. James 5:7-8 tells us, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it to receive the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." The early rains were released and poured out at Pentecost. The coming of the Lord in the day of his power for the Feast of Tabernacles will release the latter rain of glory over the earth, drawing a great harvest of souls into the kingdom. There will be billions of souls coming in the days ahead. The wedding hall will be filled. Is the church ready to absorb the shock of this many souls coming in over a short period of time? Are we prepared to have billions of newborns in the house? The Lord's eyes are set upon his harvest. He knows the exact number that will be coming in. According to Romans 11:25, it says, "Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in." God knows the type of structure needed, having the strength to hold the multitudes while at the same time standing anchored in him through the coming storms. He also knows the type of care and ministry that is needed and must be provided to masses of broken lives that have been shattered by sin and despair. The Bible tells us that the last days will be like the days of Noah and of Lot. That's Luke 17:26-28. A time when the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The Lord gave Noah specific detailed instructions for building an ark that would survive the flood. When the ark was completed, the Lord told Noah to go in, for after 7 days he would send a flood upon the earth. When the ark was complete, the Lord kept the door open for 7 days, but no one except Noah and his family came in. The scoffers ignored the supernatural phenomenon taking place right before their very eyes. Genesis 7:7 to 10 says, "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth." When Esther the bride makes her appearance in the last days, billions will be coming into the ark of Christ because of the great sacrifice of the Savior who paid in full the penalty for the sins of the world. Great warfare will break out over the globe between light and darkness in a ferocious battle for the souls of men. Nations and peoples are presently in the valley of decision, maneuvering, shifting, and forming alliances with each other, choosing to either align themselves with the Lord and His anointed or against the Lord and His anointed and Israel, thereby aligning themselves with Satan and with evil. It is especially important that we see, discern, and understand present global realities through spiritual eyes and not the media that is grossly slanted. In Psalms 2, verses 2 to 6, it says, God says, "The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger He rebukes them, terrifying them with His fierce fury. For the Lord declares, 'I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain.'" In John 2:1, it says, "On the third day there was a wedding." Have you been invited? Will you be attending? Father Lord, I pray that everyone who hears this word will be stirred in their hearts for the great feast of the King that is to come. Lord, that we will show up, that we will not be like Vashti, that we choose to bow the knee to the will of God and to obey Your precepts, O God. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, I pray for all the Vashtis in the church. Lord, who are refusing to show up and to follow Your precepts. Lord, will You have mercy on them and will You melt their hearts, Lord, that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see in this time and to come over unto Your side, God, and into the kingdom of God. Lord, for Your word says, Jesus said, that those who do not gather with Him, who are not with Him, are against Him and scatter abroad. So, dear Father, Lord, bring them in. Melt their hearts. Have mercy on them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Help us to get these words out to the body of Christ, to rally the troops and those serving the Lord on the front lines. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and cpnshows.com. And please like and share with your friends. See the links below to our website and our social media pages. God bless you and keep you safe and hidden within Him.